I'm Matt Baum, and this is the Ministry of Hemp podcast, brought to you by ministryofhemp.com, America's leading advocate for hemp and hemp education. Welcome back, and today on the show, we're going to be talking to Wayne Carkeek. He started a CBD company that was geared towards the LGBTQ community. And it's the first time I've really talked to someone who started with these companies with a community in mind. And he did so because he went through some things as a young gay man, trying to come to terms with who he was, that caused him a lot of anxiety. And he found relief in CBD, so much so that he decided to start his own company and help other people just like him. It's a very cool interview, and I'm excited for you to hear it. But before we get into that, we got to talk about COVID at least one more time. As you've probably heard this week, the U.S. passed 55,000 deaths to the coronavirus. And at the same time, there are a lot of states and governors and mayors saying it's time to reopen the economy and it's time to get back to business. I'm not going to get on a political stump here, but I will say there are still people dying and the science is still saying that we need to distance ourselves and we need to wear masks when we go out. And it's probably not the right time to reopen the economy until there's more testing. I have to go with the science here, and I try to promote science on this show. I know a lot of people think that CBD is another herbal remedy or some type of Chinese medicine, but I hope it shows through in the episodes that I've produced that we are pushing the scientific benefits here, and we're looking for more science and more research. And in that same sense, the science right now says it is not safe to reopen the country yet, and it's not safe to reopen the economy. We have to continue social distancing until there is more testing. And that's just the end of it. I don't see any argument on the other side other than some very rich people who are not going to be working on factory floors, who are not going to be going to restaurants, telling people that aren't as wealthy they need to get back to work. In my day job, I work in web hosting, and I am very fortunate that I can work from home, but I have a lot of friends who work in the restaurant business or work in the tattoo business or are musicians. And I was a musician, I was a chef, and I can't imagine what they're going through, but it's just not safe yet. It isn't. And we need to continue social distancing until such time that there is more testing and we can figure out who is immune, who is not, who is sick and where they are. Right now, that information is just not out there. So for the time being, I am urging you to continue social distancing, to continue staying home when you can. If you are going out, wear a mask. And I know it sucks. I don't want to be home all the time either. I love going to restaurants. I love going to see live shows. But it is irresponsible of us to say, well, I feel fine. And everybody around me seems like they feel fine. Let's get back to work and go out and party. That's how people get sick. And that is how more people die. Just as we are starting to flatten the curve, as they say, and see deaths reducing, we could spike that right back up if we rush this. And it's just terrible information, bad ideas, and information coming from people that run businesses, from politicians. It's not coming from scientists and doctors. Listen to your doctor. Listen to the science. Right now, they're saying we have to continue staying home. And we have a fantastic article on Ministry of Hemp right now, all about isolation, self-care. It's a whole guide with everything from cookie dough smoothies to showing you how to nourish yourself inside and out with hemp. And of course, good CBD that you can take to reduce your anxiety. But I implore you, please be safe. The testing is not there, and we are not ready to go back to life as usual. We just aren't. So please, don't even listen to me. Listen to your doctor. Listen to the science. And take a good look at the people who are telling you it's time to get back to work. My conversation today is with Wayne Carkeek. He is the co-founder of Out and About CBD, and he started a CBD company with a community in mind, the LGBTQ community, namely. Now, of course, Out and About is for anyone who wants to use it, but Wayne has a really cool story, and I talked to him about coming into his own as a gay man and feeling safe and okay in his own skin and how CBD helped him. I caught up with Wayne from his kitchen in Huntington Beach, which has turned into a makeshift warehouse as well. Here's my conversation with Wayne Carkeek. And you're working from home today. We were just talking about it before we started recording. You've got like your little warehouse set up all around you right now.
Yeah. It's kind of nice. I mean, I just have a little sample of every product here, and it's nice. Quick grab go and take it to the box office.
It's very responsible of you in these times we're currently living in. Wayne, welcome to the podcast.
Well, I come from the military, so organization is a huge thing for me.
Absolutely. Okay, then. Well, welcome to the podcast. Yeah. thank you for your time today. We just want to hear your story, really. Like, you have a very interesting story as to how you got involved in CBD and running your own CBD company. What is your origin story? Can you tell us a little bit here?
Growing up, I came from a really small community in a small town in Montana. And you know, I just didn't feel comfortable coming out there. And I have some friends currently today who didn't feel comfortable at the time either. You know, I just felt really insecure. I didn't feel like I had any support, when it came to being who I was. You know, I had people in my family who I knew, would love me no matter what, but
sure.
I also didn't know how I would be treated, you know, going forward. So I held it in for a long time. And I think that during that time, I built up a lot of self-doubt, a lot of like inner pain.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to really understand how that was affecting me. I transitioned from my hometown straight into the military, still playing out the straight man act. And I went through the whole military like that
Can I ask, is that why you went into the military, do you think? Were you trying to prove something to yourself?
I think a lot of it was I was trying to act like a lot of the same masculine figures that I had in my life.
Sure.
There's a lot of people in my family who were in the military. I had friends who joined the military. So, I didn't really know what to do. I wanted to go to school. I wanted to go to college. But I also didn't have the money for that. So
fair enough.
That was, you know, that was my route. I felt like that was what I needed to do in order to go to school.
Right.
So in the military, I was in a straight relationship. And as soon as I got out of that, I had a point in my life where I just wanted to be done playing that game.
Right.
And start living my life and being the person who I knew I could be. And it took me a while. It took me a year to kind of build up the emotional support for myself to do it. And so I began writing letters to, you know, my friends and my families. And, you know, I promised myself after I got out of the military, I would come out.
How old were you when you finally did, when you decided it's time to come out? Any thing that fomented the decision? Or were you just like, damn it, it's time. I'm done with this.
I think I was damn it, I'm done with this.
Fair enough.
And it was at the age of 24.
Yeah. Okay. So you were young.
Yeah. I was 24 years when, I came out. I was pretty young. Yeah. But I mean, at the time it felt like forever. I felt like I had held that in for, you know, since I really knew memories,
sure.
You know, everything that I could remember growing up and becoming an individual through puberty, through high school, making friends. I held all that in and I never spoke a word of, you know, my feelings to anyone until that point. So
small town Montana. Yeah. I get that. I mean, that's, and not to, this is not to disparage, you know, any small town, but it's, it is different everywhere. And when you go into smaller communities where people grow up a certain way and aren't accustomed to other ideas of gender or love or whatnot, that can be terrifying. I'm sure. Even if when you do come out, people are fine with it. They could still be terrifying until you do, I'm sure. But it sounds like after you
and
came out.
And that's the thing is, it's...
Oh, no. Go ahead, please.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
No, please.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, and that's the thing is I love that hometown, and I have very good memories, and, you know, I wouldn't have wanted to grow up any other way except for being comfortable in coming out.
Right.
You know, it's such a good small community, and there were some amazing people there. So I wouldn't change what I've gone through for anything.
When you went, did you go home and come out, or were you living somewhere else when you decided like that you felt like you were ready?
Yeah. So I guess to continue, after I got out of the military, I moved back home, not to the same small town, but to a larger city in Montana. I had a sister who lived there, and I moved in with her until I got my feet right. You know, the military doesn't prep you for every aspect of getting out of the military.
Go figure.
Yeah. So I started college. And yeah, that's Thanksgiving, which was just after my birthday. I came out.
Wow. The family Thanksgiving?
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to just kind of get it out and have it all done. So I wrote letters to everyone in my family and to those who weren't close nearby to celebrate Thanksgiving with. I sent them the letter so that they would get it on Thanksgiving. And then I handed them all out right before dinner.
Wow. That's really tearing the Band-Aid off. I'm impressed. How did dinner go?
I mean, either all for it or, you know.
Yeah, I suppose.
What's that?
How did dinner go after that? Just out of curiosity.
Really well. I have a big family, so I spent most of it, I think, with my mom and my sisters, and they were very loving and kind. And, you know, I had felt like after this long trek, that dinner would be very different.
Yeah.
And it was very special to me, but it felt no different than any other dinner with my family.
Good. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
But it also wasn't the end of your journey, from what I understand.
It wasn't. No. So going into, you know, my life after that as a gay man, I started to realize that, you know, I was out and I was happy. And, you know, at the time I had a boyfriend, just going out, going to bars, doing things, you know, that I finally wanted to be comfortable, like holding someone's hand down the street.
Right.
I felt like I was constantly looking over my shoulder, and I was, I had these little anxieties, especially in going into cities or towns that I wasn't familiar with.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Including like my hometown, you know, there were just certain moments that I just didn't feel comfortable. And I know that there are people out there who kind of go through the same things that I have. And, you know, they do it on the daily. So there's other things that obviously have attributed to this, but I also got panic attacks. And I couldn't explain why. You know, sometimes it would just be me at home watching TV, you know, just thinking about things, and they just build up. And, you know, the next thing I know, I'm freaking out. I can't breathe. My heart's racing.
I know all about it.
So I have just a lot of unknowns.
Yeah. Yeah. No, nobody knows why sure panic attacks come on. They just do. If we knew why, we could shut them down, right?
And honestly, I think it has everything to do with your mind and your mindset. And
absolutely.
I've grown to understand that, but sometimes you do need a little extra help, a little boost in, you know, finding that breath of air or like slowing your rhythm down. And I've looked into yoga. I've tried pain medications, anxiety medications,
right,
muscle relaxers. I have back pain and stuff too. So there's just a lot of things that I've tried, and nothing really helped like the way CBD helps.
How bad did it get before you found CBD? Like, where were you at? Was this the kind of thing where like you had tried everything? You were having like...
Anxiety. Yeah. I mean, it moved its way into every aspect of my life. I would grind my teeth constantly throughout the day, and I'd wake up doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I'd wake up four or five times a night, and thoughts are just running through my mind. It was pretty regular. And, you know, the anxiety attacks, they seemed like once every month is, you know, about how bad they got, which honestly, I feel kind of lucky that that's as bad as it got. Cause
still,
I know a lot of people who get them regularly every week.
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely. And you hear a lot of stories about, and it gets sensationalized, of course, but like men and women that held it in all their life, and then finally they came out and they were better, and then their life was so great. But that's not the case sometimes. There's still societal things. There's, like you said, going to a new place. Is it okay to walk around and hold my boyfriend's hand and whatnot? That can be terrifying. And it sounds like you tried a lot of different things before you found CBD. How did you come about CBD? Did someone show it to you? Did you stumble into it?
I think I spent almost 4 years being out before I found CBD. So I moved to California shortly after living in Montana for a year after the military. I didn't have the most experience to get any type of great job. So I was baristaing. Sure. I ended up working at a retail store. And I just kind of slowly moved my way up to this retail store that, I'm very thankful for. But my store manager at the time, she was starting her own CBD company for dogs. And she was like, have you ever tried CBD? And I was like, no, I don't smoke weed. That honestly, that makes my panic attacks come on more full on than anything. And she was like, no, it's not THC. You're not going to get high. She's like, just trust me, try it. So I ended up trying it, and I slept like I've never had in 10 years. And it was such an amazing effect to me. Just that one aspect, my sleep. So I started using it daily after that.
Just turned your head off. You were able to actually rest, basically.
I was able to rest, and I was able to catch up on my sleep and my thoughts. And, I was able to take a breath throughout the day and go, today's today, tomorrow's tomorrow.
Right.
And the more I used CBD, the more I realized how many different uses I had for it. So I could take it when I was starting to feel a panic attack, or just when I just felt like I was grinding my teeth too much or something.
Sure. So, sure.
Yeah, I kind of fell in love with the product.
Fair enough. And then from there, so much so, you decided, screw it. I'm just going to start my own CBD company, more or less.
Well, honestly, I've been in retail since I was 14 years old. My brother-in-law had a hardware store that I worked at. And, I've been working for so long in retail that I always wanted to have my own business, and I always wanted to be more involved. And, I'm also very careful, and I want to make sure that if I was to start a new adventure like that, I would do it right, and I wouldn't just do the first idea that popped in my head. This kind of made sense, and it was just something I wanted to pursue. I just didn't know how.
Right.
And that wasn't until I met my friend Ralph. We had so much in common, and just the stars aligned. He was looking for someone to start a CBD company with. He was finding investors, and we just got to talking, how I started using CBD, why I used it. And then Ralph's a smart guy. He started doing research, and, he started giving me these ideas of, more people like you, LGBT community based people, experience 2.5 to 3 times mental health issues.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I wasn't aware of. I thought that, I was the single one in the herd,
Of course, you're the only one. Everybody else is fine.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone always thinks that, right?
Yeah.
So we started doing more deep dives into this, and next thing we knew, that was our idea, was to start a CBD company for the LGBT community, and with the thought to help ease those mental health issues, like anxiety and stress.
That's I get a lot of different CBD companies that contact me and say, hey, I'd love to come on the show. And I would love to have them all on the show. But most of them are just starting a CBD company, and there's not really a story there. There's no there, as they say in the journalism business. You came into this with like a mission. You named your company Out and About. There's a rainbow, that is right there. It's pretty plain what we're doing here. I think it's amazing. First of all, was there any pushback? Did you feel like from other companies or anything? Did you hear it? Did anyone accuse you of maybe making yourself, like a poster boy or taking advantage, or anything like that? Because right in your mission statement, it says we're doing this for the LGBT community. Now, of course, anyone can take it, and it'll help with anyone's anxiety. What was the focus behind that? And did you feel any pushback from anyone?
Yeah. So I think that no matter what you do in life, you're going to get pushback from anyone, whether it's your friends or strangers. I have received pushback. But I think it's a little validated. If you look at the way our community, my community, has been, you know, subject to different business opportunities in the past. Every June is Pride, and every company out there, they throw a rainbow label over their logo.
Suddenly they're 100% behind you for one weekend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and we know their intentions. It's so that they can be a part of that community to make their buck through that month. And then they remove that rainbow from their logo. And so that's something we fly proud year round, is our logo is a rainbow. And we're going to continue to receive pushback, but I know where my heart is in the company, and that's making a difference and also giving back.
Right. So,
I'm more than prepared to deal with those kind of things.
Fair enough. Tell me about the company itself. How did you get started? I mean, it's one thing to decide, I think I want to do this, and it's another thing to go find growers and people that are going to, you know, separate the CBD from the plant and, you know, the oil and whatnot. How did you get involved with that? And what were the choices along the way?
So Ralph, for the most part, is very well, connected in the CBD industry. He's worked with some people, some clients, and so we had a little bit of a head start in, you know, where we wanted to source our products from. And we wanted to make sure that they were premium products.
We don't
want to outsource from a different country. So, I think Ralph was very well, fluent in where we were going to be buying our products from. But that said, we definitely brought in a big array of items to test and see what products, you know, we wanted to make ours. And we also wanted a little bit of customization from them. We wanted to be able to make it specific to the LGBT community. So you'll see things in our collection that, you know, are specific to who we are, and the things that my community, you know, enjoys.
Tell me about that a little bit. Tell me about the specifics.
Yeah. So working out. So we have an energy drink that will be coming out hopefully this month. It's just, you know, it's something that can give you a little bit of energy at the gym, kind of get you your heart racing, get you through your workout, but it also has that CBD additive to help you relax afterward.
Cool.
And, you know, I think there's a little bit of thought about how it, you know, influences the lactic acid in your muscles.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that, but
fair enough.
Yeah.
Now California is a little looser on that than some states. So they're allowing you to do an energy drink. I know the FDA is still looking into a lot of this stuff and saying you can use it in an ointment, you can use it in a tincture, but you cannot use it as a food additive yet. So that's cool that you're allowed to, honestly.
Yeah, 100%. And so there's just a couple of products that are specific now, but going forward, I think that, we definitely want to hear what our community wants in their products. And we've already done that with one of our products, which is a CBD lubricant.
Oh, nice.
So it's a sexual lubricant, and it's for gay sex, straight sex. It's something that can enhance your sexual pleasure.
Absolutely. Yeah. I did an interview with a woman that runs ENG, which is like engineered erotics, and they were doing CBD infused lubricants and whatnot. And
I listened to that. That was a really good, really good one.
She's really cool. And we've actually stayed in contact. That's awesome. You guys are doing that. What other kind of products are you offering?
So we have a lot of the ones that, other mainstream companies will have out there, like gummies. We want to provide one thing that I've learned using CBD is not everyone's the same when it comes to dosing.
Absolutely.
I'm super sensitive and I take usually 10 milligrams at most.
Oh, wow.
Some people can take 25, 50 milligrams.
Yeah. I'm in the 25 to 50 group. So myself.
And that blows my mind away. I think I'd be, dead asleep for 4 days if I did that.
Well, that's kind of the goal for me. So like there's time for Matt to turn this thing off and go to bed, you know? So How do you take your own CBD? Like, what do you prefer? What's your regimen?
So usually what I do, you know, I'll go to bed every night and I'll use a tincture. Especially today, you know, with as much sleep as I'm allowed to get with, you know, the virus and staying home. I feel like I have to take an extra dose at night. But I'm kind of experimenting right now with taking a tincture, before bed, but also taking a gummy so it can digest and hit me a little bit later on.
Oh.
But yeah, throughout the day, I'll usually use either a gummy or we have a mint, which works very similar to a tincture. So as it's dissolving in your mouth, you know, it's hitting your bloodstream a little bit faster.
That's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah. And then, you know, especially now I'm working out every day almost. So I'm using, we have a massage oil with CBD in it, lavender scented. And yeah, I'll put that on my muscles after I shower and it just helps soothe my muscles immediately.
So where can we find your products? Are you everywhere now or is this a California mainly or?
So currently we're just in e-commerce. Okay. We had big plans to branch out into all the gay neighborhoods across the US over the next couple of years. But obviously with the virus, we're a little bit pushed back.
Society crumbled as we know it.
We're okay with that. It gives us time to, you know, get our feet wet and, you know, figure out what we're doing, where we're going, you know, build our image a little bit and, you know, just kind of get our name out there before people start seeing it in stores. So, I'm not discouraged at all by it. And yeah, I'm also excited to get out there firsthand and start meeting people in the communities and, you know, trying to get them to see our products firsthand and test them out and see if they like them.
Most definitely. Most definitely. What do you have to say to the kid that is out there right now that's listening to this, that's terrified, that hasn't come out and it doesn't matter where they live or whatever the reason is? What do you have to say to them? And not even, you know, take CBD out of it. Like what do you say to someone that comes to you and says, I read your story and I know how you feel and I'm terrified?
You know, the first thing I have to say is I'm very personable. And so my first response is give me a call, text me, email me.
That's awesome.
I think that that's the one thing that I really wish I had in my life is someone to talk to. And if you don't feel comfortable talking to me, like I said, the Trevor Project is an amazing organization. That's why I fully support them because they're there and they've modernized their whole, you know, on-call system. So you can call them, you can text them, you can chat with them online. They're great people. I've met them. I think that what they're doing is something that should have been here 20 years ago, 30
Absolutely.
Years ago.
Can you talk about the Trevor Project a little bit, how you got involved with it and what it is?
Definitely. I love talking about them. So the Trevor Project is a crisis prevention for LGBT youth. And it started in the 90s. And it was because of a movie, I guess a film that had come out. And so what they do is they provide 24-hour services for LGBT youth. You know, I believe what their scope is from the ages of 14 to 25 years old.
Sure. Which is like the highest predominantly risk factor too.
Yeah. Yeah. And that makes sense because those were the years where I felt like I was most at risk.
Exactly.
I can completely relate with them. So they provide these call centers. I think they have 500 to 700, volunteers working for them.
Wow.
Across the nation.
That's amazing.
Which is amazing. I mean,
yeah,
it's something that just kind of inspires me, you know, just if anyone's ever in need, mental health issue, whatever it is, you should always reach out. And I'm not saying that just to the LGBT youth, but to anyone. Honestly.
Right. Absolutely.
I just know that my community is a little bit more susceptible to having these issues.
So, right. And as someone who went through it, coming from your background, I can't think of anybody better to put their face on this stuff and say, hey, not only do you not have to suffer and it's okay to be yourself, there are things that are not drug related, you know, or pharmaceutically related that can help you, you know, with anxiety and whatnot. I think it's amazing what you're doing, man. Mm-hmm. I really do. And I want to thank you so much for your time. This has really been fantastic. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate you know, giving me the time, and I appreciate everything that you're doing, because I think that the education about CBD is the most important thing out there. And the more people that can get out there and learn about it, the better off our world will be.
Yeah. And I mean, this is really an aspect what we're talking about today that I hadn't really taken into account. I mean, we've obviously done shows about anxiety and whatnot, but as far as looking at a community and how this can help a certain community, I think that's really cool. And it goes way more than just a marketing shtick. You know, I think it's important.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool, thanks, man. Again, I want to thank Wayne for his time, and we will have links to Out and About CBD on the post for this show. We'll also have links to the Trevor Project. And if any of you out there listening are in the LGBTQ community and you're having a mental health issue, or you just need someone to talk to, I urge you, reach out to these people. They're fantastic and they will listen. That is about it for this week's show, but a few announcements before we leave. As always, I want to thank everybody that has jumped on our Patreon and is supporting Ministry of Hemp there. You can go to patreon.com/Ministry of Hemp, and any amount will make you a Ministry of Hemp insider, which gets you early access to interviews and articles that are posted on Ministry of Hemp and our podcast extras. We just posted a couple of them. One is with Nick Warrender from Herb, who I just talked to in the last episode. And the other is from episode 35, where I talked to Seth Hirsch of Catskills Comfrey about how he makes his ointment. They're fun little extra stuff. And honestly, I can't thank you guys enough for throwing a little extra cash at us, especially during these times, and helping Ministry of Hemp out in getting this information to people that need to hear it. Speaking of ministryofhemp.com, get over there and check out an article we have up about CBD industry insiders speaking about how to stand out in the competitive CBD industry. Also, I don't normally plug other websites, but our editor-in-chief and my buddy Kit O'Connell got written up again in Honeysuckle Magazine. They shared some of his writing. It's a really great article about how the media spread reefer madness, and now it can spread the truth. I'll have a link to that in the notes as well, because it's cool. And Honeysuckle is a great magazine too, if you haven't checked it out. Speaking of show notes, at the Ministry of Hemp, we believe that an accessible world is a better world for everybody, so you will find a complete written transcription of this show in the show notes as well. If you need more Ministry of Hemp, follow us on all of our social media. You can always find us at /Ministry of Hemp or at Ministry of Hemp. And if you have questions about this episode or any hemp questions you'd like to hear answered on the show, call us at 402-819-4894 and leave us a message. That is the Ministry of Hemp phone line, and we would love to hear from you. Kit and I are going to be getting together real soon and answering a bunch of your questions for another Q&A show, and they are so much fun. You can also email me your questions directly if you don't feel like calling in to matt@ministryofhemp.com. And again, I would love to hear from you. For now, just like I like to say at the end of every show, remember to take care of yourself, take care of others, and make good decisions, will you? This is Matt Baum with the Ministry of Hemp, signing off.